turn in our Bibles to chapter 10, verse 17. Who would have ever thought? Last week, I mentioned oftentimes as Christians, we are mocked by the people of the book. And I said, for us, we bear that mark. It's a badge of honor and a mockery that works well. And other people attack us and scorn us, and their attack is us, people of the cross. But again, this is an attack there, and we would say amen, such a sling, even if it was meant to hurt, doesn't shake us. Historically, we adorn ourselves with cross jewels as members of the group. We adorn our buildings oftentimes with cross steeples or maybe even crosses painted onto the front of our building. And you come into Christian sanctuaries, oftentimes they'll on the back wall, possibly across on the communion table. When you drive down through and you drive through the many of our family with honor, you'll see fields, three crosses. We do it very. Can you hear me, John? Okay. And we see those crosses. It inspires us because it truly is our family. It should be proudly worn. It should be proud. And oftentimes, is, I think, very appropriate or even on historically Christian. Themselves, Holy Spirit, sometimes are all that meant forefathers. It just said that they were placing themselves under the power of, and they were trusting Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that we were the people that were under the power of Christ. Good thing. It's good protection. And really, ultimately, we would say the cross of a great man, a man who was strung out and was and his body was crown, hands pierced, extended, and it's the body of Christ, and we are the body, so we would proudly say, I'm in Christ, and we know that in it is a symbol of suffering, but it's a symbol of suffering dominion, that when the Lord Jesus onto the cross and his body was torn, it was torn for us, it was torn for us, and in the tearing there was great glory. It was a means to victory, a means of being vindicated in battle, a means of him giving of himself for us. oftentimes our enemies will attach this and they will say, he died a Christian. And we even have, let me read it, you don't have to turn there, from heaven, and this is crucifixion when his body is, that those arrogant came up in the Lord and they said, he destroyed the temple, build this up and save thyself. Likewise, all mocked him. And with the scribe, he saved others. Himself he can't. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down and we will believe him. And if you consider the setting what that was, hanging there, the easy thing would have been to come. But the right thing was to obey his father and to give of himself for his people. So we look at that tearing, that horrible, and we look at that, see redemption. We look at that pain and suffering, but ultimately we see victory in that act. We are grateful. We wear a cross on ourselves with honor. Not only us, but we think of all the fruit that has been born from that right redemption. And we think of when that cross and it is born once again. So with that in mind, Mark chapter, and we'll start in 17. And I think this is a portion of scripture with on a sermon several years on this. It's a little bit different application. Here we go. And when he was gone forth, there came one running and asked him, what shall I do that I may inherit life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou? There is none good. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear, defraud not, honor thy father. And he answered and said, Master, these things I observe from my youth. Then Jesus loved him and said unto him, one thing, go thy way, sell whatsoever, and give to the poor, and thou, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that. And he went away, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about to his disciples, how hard that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, is it for them, riches, to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished, saying among them, who can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men, but not with God. With God, all. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say, there is no man or brethren or father or wife or lands for and the gospel, but he shall receive now. Houses and brethren and mothers and lands, persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many last. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word, and I pray, I ask, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, even over the internet wave, that your word will be actual in the life of your people, that we might and learn of your ways and grow according. Bless your ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I think there are two things that are to the heart of this. The first one is as Jesus saw him. We see in verse 21 when Jesus saw a man that comes asking a question, that Jesus loves him. He doesn't scorn him. He's not angry. He loves him. He was a good man. And he wanted to be a and he went to the right to learn how to be to the man. He needed to know what he had to do in order to advance. What did he need? And in order for him to have a pathway, it had been true. When he said he kept the commandments, he did keep the commandments. Jesus didn't condemn him for lying, but he said, there's more to go. There's more that I need to be ready for a step, a step of sanctification. In order for him to grow, he had to pick up his cross. And he had to follow the Lord Jesus. That's what he had to do. That's what he did. Pick up that cross. That didn't happen. What does it mean to pick up the cross? It means you are willing to submit yourself to the tearing, that you too would give your body to be torn. And what is the cross? Multidimensional. Up, down, left, right. And that reminds things. It means we're part of it. And we're part of a future. It means that we're in an in-group. It means that we're also in an out-group. We're extended. We're not the evil people. We're not just. We are the church. also part of the world. We're not just Christians, though we honor our faith and we follow them, but we are also part of a Christian world. And we've picked up a mantle and we must go forward. We bring the past, we go forward into the future. We're a multidimensional people of the cross. And it means that we're willing to be torn for the life of the world. We're willing to throw ourselves so that others may live. And we embrace that. The famous Christian from Dartmouth called Eugene Rosenstock QC wrote a whole book on this, developing the cross. Long way. And I think his, and it's a group of lectures you can get online, called The Cross of Rebirth. It was a lot that Jesus was asking that young man. And it was a point of growth he wasn't ready for. Declan, take himself and throw him the cross, he said, Clark, no. But someday, Declan, that will be the step. We'll ask that of your dad, your grandpa. And when the time comes, you pick up the cross. And Jesus, the disciples, well, if this is the standard, how can you pick up the cross? We know the answer to that. We can't. The only way that you cross is that you get from above. But with God, it's possible self to be torn. And oh, if you, what rewards! Those last two verses, hundredfold now. All that is telling us is when you come to that step and you do it, it's like days of old, that there is development that comes when the church picks up and follows, staggering the things that can be done. The cross is also a reminder to us of our mission. Our mission, four corners. The Christian family has gone up and we go. And when we look at that cross, it reminds us it's our family in that symbol. And it points out our strength. By giving of ourselves, by being willing to, we are mature and we follow our King. This is both personal and corporate, because we're people of the cross. We personally have to pick up our cross, and we corporately pick up our cross. When we pick up our cross, and we acknowledge that we have a future, and that there's new life, and there's redemptive work in the four corners of the earth, and we have a responsibility to match, to pick up the cross for Summersworth and the surrounding communities. By embracing the we march on the age-old struggle between Jesus and his enemies. fighting. And we've learned that. We've learned at this point, coordinate all this technology, position to the whole thing. I worried about it. It requires that we're not either alone. We're everything. We submit ourselves. We love one another in the and to go out and even for the people that are in the to bring them in. Our mission continues. The cross reminds we don't get we're there. There, even though I'm not, I'm there. I'm with you and I'm so happy to be. But we're here. Summersworth. They're dependent upon us. They don't know the power of the cross to give up themselves. They haven't heard or if they have to it. They don't know that can come from a people that pick up a cross. So we pick it up for them and we bring their needs to God. And we, in turn, what are we doing? We're giving of ourselves. We're following and living like he did. We ascend into heaven's name and we bear the cross. It is the richest of to others, us, wood. Nice earring. It's a nice necklace. See it. It's our mission. It's our Lord. I used to be, even sometimes, I used to be crucifixions or crucifixes and say, oh, that's good. No, it's not bad. It's part of a story. I always like the ascended Jesus, you know, in his glory, because he gives us the reminder just for suffering, for dominion, and for victory and vindication. This gets to the heart of say this morning about where we are as a people and as a church, and surely where I have been with. By God. I've known for a long time the way of Christ, the way that Jesus works. I've learned that. I know I have a calling. And my calling is to be your shepherd. And what that means is that I have to follow Jesus' example. I have to lead like he led. And Jesus leads from the front. He didn't lead like many commanders nowadays in a nice cushy office somewhere. Christian commanders lead from the front. Christians lead the sheep. They don't prod them. They face when you see Jesus in the garden and the wolves come forward and says, I'm him. I'm the guy you're looking for. They're my sheep. At communion, I take the bread before you do. Why is that? It's supposed to come to me first, not to you. I have to let the greater come to me. My job is your. It's time to drink wine first. The day where the wine, let it fall on. I'm your leader, and I should have that when it came to this point that we were going to grow. we were going to have to learn this maturation of picking up a cross, bearing it. So silly of me now when I think about it. But all my instincts should have told me a long time ago this is how it would go. I've got to do it first. I would have to lead into being people of the cross. And one thing I never asked me to do, you know the stories, I've told you them all. I'm not the guy to go on the white horse and at the front. That's not who I was. Myself that way. So I didn't see this. But now it's here. Good or not, it's the reality. I've been asked to show you how to do it so that you could learn it from your shepherd. Jesus, as he did for the young man, me to lead you and to be a living example to you, sanctification and maturation, so that you could see it firsthand. How did it happen? And I couldn't help but in the old mild-mannered Clark Kent. How did mannered, unnoticed Tom Clark find the courage? I had to think about that because I can honestly, I'm not joking there, folks. It wasn't a gift I had. It wasn't anything that I was blind to. How did it happen? As I look back, the way that I see it, I see it correctly. It came from you. As God was preparing your role to lead you in this journey, he was also preparing you. And I found the in the strength, inspiration of the army that's as I step forward across it, I was alone out in the desert and had to pick it. I was in the sanctuary, I was in the midst of God's people. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
So I'm in the midst of the church. And when I had to do it and I had to step forward, I did it in a corporate sense with you there with me. I had prepared my way. God had prepared my dear children. Were ready, but they were to go to the battle. My dear and other family, and then walk. And what you guys have all done is that you have helped take this cowardly and you have enabled him to pick up the cross and bear it. And together, we've grown up. We're not the people we used to be. We've learned at our and we, I think now, are ready into the unknown territory of living for the life of the world. And oh, what you have done. You have inspired me to be a real shepherd. You know, I was maybe I was adequate, but now I feel like I'm a shepherd. I've done more shepherding once than I've done years. I've got something to say, things, and you guys the thoughts, ideas, and understanding of Scripture that I never. You've given me courage I never. But I think we've a little bit these precious years, people of the cross. You guys have told for me, and I've torn for you. We've learned to be people of the cross. And I could not be prouder. Could not be any prouder of you. But I must say, there's no turning back. I don't know where, but I know we can't. It's too good now to turn back. The day I had yesterday, you know, like when I came in here on Friday, I couldn't see myself to the end of the day. I was in so bad shape. But oh, yesterday, strength started coming. I had visitors all take walks in the hall, talk about the people, and I was overjoyed. This way of the cross, it's glorious, people, and there's a lot of good things that are going to come from it. But there's no turning back. I will do. To lead you on. I'll do my best to be a shepherd, being your leader. And I'll try to do my and what I need you to do. You have to hold up my arms. You have to surround me and help me back up. Get me. What glory awaits? What victories to be won if we learn this? There's a lot of people that need to bump into some people of the cross. And I've met a lot of people without this life. We've learned things from each other and about living under God. That we couldn't have learned for cross-bearing theology. It's not a thing for you, it's something that adults have to do. But we had grown. We were asking God do what he wants. He wants people of the cross. He wants someone that's willing to suffer victory. There are many victories to be won if we follow his way into victory, glory, and transformation of that patch of us a fertile land. There's plenty of land. We can look all around us. Your home, business after business, employee. There's many to be won. I've met people here just in weekends here. I had a Christian talk with me, a girl from Stratford, Christian, and her heart asking me for advice, and we cheered each other on. It was a wonderful moment for me. I enjoyed it. You may remember the timers that came out. All Chariots based upon a true story. They did a lot of editing in Hollywood. Sometimes exact as they took liberty as they can in movies. But there was a famous one, Eric Little. He had it wrong by writers that Eric's ill. But when it came to the race, reflecting at the sermon, the strength to run the race, I don't agree with that. Not for me, it didn't. There wasn't any strength within. God brought me strength from within. For me, the strength came from outside. It was a special gift from above. But it intimately involved my relationship with you. The reason I can do this is because you're there doing your part, and I have soldiers of the Lord that have learned to mourn for others, that are willing to suffer, that are willing to commit themselves. And we learn that too in the sanctuary, to mourn for one another. And then we go outside and we bear our world that needs us so dearly. We bear the mock, the scorn, because it's part of the way the Lord Jesus mockery. Oh yeah, we can walk away. It's the easy thing. The hard thing is to give your life and die for people like you. I thank you from the bottom for getting me here. I truly say I could not have got here without you. But now we'll go forward, and I promise you, there are many great victories ahead if we stay the course. I will do my best, your best to follow, and we will be conquerors. We will be in Christ more than conquerors. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I love your people. I thank you for our great cross, my great honor. Might we mourn what it is to grow in grace and to be those that pick it up and follow in your footsteps. Bless this deep. Bless their lives, their all that they put their hands to. Oh Lord, might we conquer in your name. Amen.